Let's Face the Issues is a daily broadcast ministry of First Conservative Baptist Church with Dr. Gene A. Youngblood. Dr. Youngblood is also the founder, president of Conservative Theological University. Let's Face the Issues broadcast deals with real issues facing our culture today from a biblical perspective. God created three institutions, the home, government, and the church. Therefore, any issue that is harmful or has a negative impact on either of these institutions will be carefully dealt with and confronted from a biblical worldview. Too often, good people are afraid to confront serious issues that are attacking the church, the home, and Christians. We must stand against the enemies of the family and the church. Tune in each day for another broadcast of Let's Face the Issues with Dr. Gene A. Youngblood. Here is Dr. Youngblood with Let's Face the Issues.
Thank you so much, ladies and gentlemen. It's our delight to come to you today once again. Let's Face the Issues. It's always our joy to have you join in and participate in this broadcast. Let me remind you, lest I forget it, you can dial 831-0917, 831-0917. That telephone call gets your call directly through to the studios and right to our microphones so that we can entertain your questions, your comments, your dialogue and discussion on the issues that we'll be discussing and talking about today. It's our joy and delight to come to you by way of this broadcast. As we face the issues, we do so based on the authority of Scripture. Multitudes of people today face issues in a difficult fashion. They try to do so based on rites, rituals, rules, and regulations of some denomination or some ideological bent out of a political agenda. But when we come to you on this broadcast and we deal with issues, we do so based on the authority of Scripture. I don't know of any better source or resource to go to than the Word of God, the inspired, infallible, inerrant Word that God gives us directions on how to live and the resolution for any scenario that we're faced with in life. It's called having a biblical worldview. A biblical worldview simply means we look at the Scripture, and the Scripture gives us the progressive revelation of God to man, and God reveals Himself through the Word of God and gives us insight and direction as to life and living. It is the truth of the Scripture that makes all the difference in the world. Jesus said to His disciples in John 8:31 and 32, "If you continue in My Word, then you're My disciples indeed, and you shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free." And then Jesus said in John 14:6, "I am truth." And then further description coming out of the mouth of the Lord Jesus Himself. John 17:17, Jesus says, "Thy word is truth." Truth is what we need to seek, ladies and gentlemen. We're in a life today, in a living today, in a society today, where just as one said, in fact, it was George Orwell a number of years ago, said the further a society drifts from the truth, the more it will hate those who speak it. And that's what we're finding in our world today, and especially in society in general. But yet it's in Zechariah 8:6 that the Word of God says, "Speak every man truth to his neighbor." And so we should seek to be truthful based on the authority of Scripture. And ladies and gentlemen, that makes all the difference in the world, in your life and in mine, and in living our lives each day, is the truth. Ladies and gentlemen, let me announce to you today that this portion of the broadcast is sponsored by Tools for Time. Tools for Time is an outdoor power equipment dealership specializing in the turnkey business packages for individuals looking to own your own landscape or lawn care business. Tools for Time also carries a full line of equipment for the homeowners with brands like Honda and Echo. Tools for Time carries the full line of hurricane preparedness equipment and hurricane cleanup equipment with an entire staff of knowledgeable people to answer all your questions about backup power and about the equipment that Tools for Time sells. Tools for Time, located at 11291 Old St. Augustine Road. Tools for Time, right at the intersection of I-295 and Old St. Augustine Road. It's the place where you find Old Glory, 165-foot flagpole with the United States flag flowing 24/7. Look for the flag. The base of that flag, you'll find Tools for Time. ToolsForTime.com. ToolsForTime.com. Ladies and gentlemen, we're in the Thanksgiving season. Now, I do realize that we're a couple of weeks away from Thanksgiving, but time flies so rapidly. Many times we think about Thanksgiving only as a particular day or a set day, and that is the day that we celebrate Thanksgiving, and that's wonderful. But we ought to be thankful 24/7. We ought to look at it on the basis that we're thankful for what God is doing. Ladies and gentlemen, I believe, listen very carefully, I believe that we're living in a society today of those who simply are not thankful. Ponder that for a moment. We're living in a nation of what I call ingratitude. And ingratitude seems to permeate our homes and our families and the way of living and life and society in general. Thankfulness, ladies and gentlemen, and thanksgiving is not just about an abundant meal on Thanksgiving Day. Now, I understand there's a lot of folks that call Thanksgiving Turkey Day. Ladies and gentlemen, I have with me today Dr. Neil Phelps. Dr. Phelps is a theology and Bible professor in Conservative Theological University. Dr. Phelps and I are going to be having dialogue and discussion about why thankfulness, why Thanksgiving, why should we celebrate Thanksgiving? But Dr. Phelps, I believe that we have a lot of people that look at Thanksgiving as just being, as they call it, Turkey Day, a time that they can indulge in heavy eating. And there's nothing wrong with eating a good turkey dinner, as it is called, for Thanksgiving. But it's about simply being thankful for what God has provided us with. Ladies and gentlemen, I can recall so vividly, and I was sharing this briefly with Dr. Phelps before we went on the air this morning, but I can recall a recent Thanksgiving. Our family had decided to drive back to Georgia on Thanksgiving Day because our family there were going to be having a Thanksgiving dinner, a large in-gathering of family members, many of them from several states. And so the real celebration of Thanksgiving that day would be for the Thanksgiving meal in the evening and not with a Thanksgiving luncheon or a Thanksgiving midday meal. But we were driving because historically you find, and you perhaps have noticed this, that on Thanksgiving Day is the lowest amount of traffic. Because generally speaking, on Thanksgiving Day, everybody's where they want to be. Everybody's where they need to be. The journey's over. They're there with the family. But on that particular Thanksgiving, our family drove to Georgia to be with the family. And we decided to drive, as I said, on Thanksgiving Day because of the traffic being so much less during that day. While going to Georgia, we stopped in Savannah. That's about the halfway point where we were going from our destination to our destination from here in Jacksonville. And we decided that we would stop in right there near Savannah at a favorite spot called Cracker Barrel. About to say Golden Corral. Cracker Barrel. And we stopped at Cracker Barrel and we pulled up in the parking lot. The parking lot was jam-packed. We looked at the front door and it looked like between 150 and 200 people standing in line to get in to have a Cracker Barrel Thanksgiving lunch. Went to the lady inside and she said, be about two and a half hour wait. And we decided that we just were not going to wait. We could not have that time of waiting and still do our traveling. So we decided we'd just circle around the area in general and see what else is open. We did, and we found the basic thing that was open from the standpoint of food was a Golden Arches. Golden Arches, what is that? McDonald's. McDonald's had a parking lot full. So we got in line, we waited, and we had a Golden Arches Big Mac Thanksgiving lunch. So you might ask the question, well, we're thankful. Absolutely, ladies and gentlemen. We not only finding that being the only restaurant open, but we had an opportunity to be together as our part of the family and have a Thanksgiving luncheon over a Big Mac. So were we thankful? Absolutely, indeed. You see, ladies and gentlemen, what I'm saying is our thankfulness is not to be determined by whether or not we have a Big Mac or Cracker Barrel meal or any other sumptuous meal that we could think of. That's not what Thanksgiving is about, though that is generally the way we see it so often. So may I remind us, ladies and gentlemen, as we think about the Thanksgiving season, ask the question, why Thanksgiving? Why should we be thankful? May I say, ladies and gentlemen, we need to be thankful for all that God has done, is doing, and shall do for us as we live this life in service and surrender. Let me just go down a litany of things that needs to set the stage for where we're going in this broadcast today. But ladies and gentlemen, let me remind you, we're talking about why Thanksgiving. It's a question. Why do we celebrate Thanksgiving? Why should we be thankful? Why are you thankful? You can dial 831-0917, 831-0917, And we can talk about your thankfulness, what you're thankful for, and why we should be thankful in this Thanksgiving season. Did you wake up this morning? Be thankful. We need to recognize that God is the one that's in control and in charge of our lives. If you awaken this morning, say, thank you, Lord, that you awakened me. We need to be thankful for life. Do you have reasonable health? Be thankful. Has God granted you a modicum of wisdom? Be thankful. Is your family together? Be thankful. Are you able to think and speak and feel? Be thankful. We are a free nation. Be thankful. We're not living under a dictatorship. Be thankful. And by the way, I can just digress from that. We're not living under a dictatorship. We need to be thankful. When you watch AOC and the squad, when you watch Nancy Pelosi and the dictatorship approach that's being taken now, and forgetting anything called Bill of Rights or our constitutional freedoms, yet we need to be thankful, ladies and gentlemen. We still enjoy our freedom of religion. Be thankful. God is still on his throne. We need to be thankful. Jesus is still Lord. Be thankful. Jesus has promised that he's going to soon return. We need to be thankful. But ladies and gentlemen, let me tell you about a man. We use this as an illustration to make our transition in the dialogue and discussion with Dr. Phelps today on biblical Thanksgiving and what Thanksgiving is. But let me tell you about a man. Perhaps you have heard of this man or you have met the man by way of his writings. Let me tell you about a man. He had experienced every bad thing that you could imagine. He's in a cold, dark, damp, stone floor, cramped prison cell. He's chained to prison guards 24/7. He's separated from his friends. He's been unjustly accused. He's been brutally treated. He has the right to complain. Yes, he does. This man, the Apostle Paul, said, rejoice in the Lord. And again, I say rejoice. Ladies and gentlemen, that's where we ought to be today. Regardless of the circumstances, regardless of the condition, regardless of where we are in life or what's taking place, we need to rejoice in the Lord and be thankful. We should be thankful each and every day in each and every situation that God allows us to be in. Someone said on one occasion, this is the general cycle for everyone listening to my voice today. Either you have just entered into a problem, you've just come out of a problem, or you're just going into a problem. That's the cycle that we face in life. It's called life and living. And even in the midst of the problems, as we call them, or issues, we need to recognize the need to be thankful. We should be thankful each and every day for each and every situation. Jesus, you recall, healed 10 leprous men. 10 asked to be healed. Jesus healed them. But only one came back to say, thank you, thank you, thank you, thank you, Lord. Study that in the scripture. A fascinating study of ingratitude, because out of the 10, 9 showed absolute ingratitude. And 1 came back and fell on his knees before Jesus in thanksgiving with a thankful heart. Ladies and gentlemen, I believe ingratitude and a thanklessness, may I say today, is common among adults and among children. Ingratitude, ladies and gentlemen, is sin. Just as much as lying, just as much as stealing, just as much as immorality or any other sin that's condemned in the Bible, thankfulness ought to be, and thanklessness, ingratitude, is a sin. So, Dr. Phelps, would you please take a moment and let's share together for our listeners today just what the Bible says about thankfulness and why Thanksgiving. Why should, share with our listeners, Dr. Phelps, why should we be thankful? What is Thanksgiving? Why should we be thankful? And what does the Bible say about that?
The book of Ephesians chapter 5, verse 20 says, giving thanks always for all things unto God the Father in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. It's a command. Yes. Because that's an imperative kind of statement in the Bible. God wants us to be thankful, and we may offer thanks. I'm so glad that I can report to you today that one of the many virtues that make Christians different from the followers of the other so-called religions is thankfulness. The Bible gives instructions to the followers of Christ to be thankful. God is telling us that's one of the things we ought to do. And Psalm 92, verse 1 says, "It's a good thing to give thanks unto the Lord and to sing praises unto thy name, O Most High." In the Scriptures tell us that anyone who believes on Christ becomes a part of the household of faith, and we belong to what is called a holy priesthood. And that gives us the right, privilege, and opportunity for praise and thanksgiving. They're spoken of as a spiritual sacrifice that pleases God. And it's a privilege to offer up spiritual sacrifices that are acceptable to God in Jesus Christ. Because we've received Jesus, God's beloved Son, into our hearts, we are accepted in God's presence before His throne of grace. So, according to the book of Hebrews, chapter 4, we can enter into His presence with thanksgiving, with gladness, with praise, with singing. Psalm 100 also tells us that we have that privilege of entering into His gates with thanksgiving, into His courts with praise. And we're told to be thankful unto Him and bless His holy name. For the Lord is good, His mercy is everlasting, and His truth endures to all generations. So you and I can offer thanks to God daily, prayerfully, continually, for it's a good thing to do. We have many reasons for giving thanks. And here are just two or three of those. I'm thankful for our Heavenly Father who loves us.
Amen.
For our High Priest, the Lord Jesus Christ, who ever lives in heaven, risen, living, alive, and there to make intercession prayer for us. For the Holy Spirit to help us in our daily walk. For the heritage of the Scriptures. For the hope of eternal life. For the household of faith, that is, Christians, to encourage us, for the health and strength He gives us, for a home in heaven, for the hymns of faith we sing, and that we may have mercy of God. Oh, give thanks unto the Lord, for He is good, for His mercy endures forever. Those are just a few of the things, Dr. Youngblood, that I'd like to suggest.
Well, Dr. Phelps, I know you just quoted that Psalms 107, verse 10, give thanks unto the Lord, for He is good, for His mercy endureth forever. I like the other verses. Verse 2 says, "Let the redeemed of the Lord say so, whom He hath redeemed from the hand of the enemy." And then, as I'd said prior to the broadcast today, I've enjoyed Psalms 107 for probably 50-plus years. And I recall when I was on the road in evangelism, preaching and teaching the word, I would many times use this verse as an opening text. Verse 8 of that Psalms 107 says, "Oh, that men would praise the Lord for His goodness and for His wonderful works for the children of men." Verse 15, "Oh, that men would praise the Lord for His goodness and for His wonderful works to the children of men." Verse 21, "Oh, that men would praise the Lord for His goodness and for His wonderful works to the children of men." And then in verse 31, "Oh, that men would praise the Lord for His goodness and for His wonderful works to the children of men." Not but 43 verses in Psalms 107, but the resounding theme is praising the Lord, giving thanks unto the Lord, for He is good, for His mercy endureth forever. And it's something that many times we're not recognizing, ladies and gentlemen, that God is good and His mercy endureth forever. And we need to praise Him and thank Him. And so often we fail to do that during the course of the year. And we think somehow, some way, that the only time we're to say, "Thank you, Lord," is at Thanksgiving time. Ladies and gentlemen, you're tuned in to Let's Face the Issues. This is Dr. Youngblood. Your call-in telephone number is 831-0917, 831-0917. That telephone call gets you directly through to the studios, right to our microphone, so that we can entertain your dialogue and discussion or your questions or comments. Perhaps you've got a question about biblical Thanksgiving and why we should be thankful. Perhaps you have things that you have been unthankful for with a and a heart of ingratitude, and you want to talk about that, you need not call your name. We're not interested in that as much as we are in having you to join in the dialogue and the discussion today as we talk about Thanksgiving and why Thanksgiving. Why should we be thankful? I've said before, and let me repeat that, even though I might risk redundancy. I believe we live in a nation today of ingratitude, a lack of thankfulness. Never will forget a number of years ago while we had the academy with kindergarten through 12th grade in the academy sponsored by our church. On one occasion, interviewing parents and a child for the academy to enroll, and I could tell in the interview that the daughter was basically in control of the home. And I asked mom, I said, when you've prepared a meal and you're waiting for your husband to come in, waiting for the family to sit down at the dinner table, and you've labored over that meal, you've got the dinner ready, everybody seated at the table, and you come to the table then, and your child says, I don't like this, I don't want this. Do you say, well, honey, if you'll just sit down and wait, after we get through with dinner, we'll go down to Burger King and we'll get you a hamburger and appease them on that basis? Or do you say, this is what God has provided and this is what we're going to eat? If you don't want to eat, that's wonderful. You can wait till breakfast. You don't need to eat dinner with us if you'd rather not eat. And I said, does that happen at your home? And she said, I'm afraid so. And I said, that's a heart of ingratitude. And that shows that child is in control of the home. And if that is the case, that child is going to want to control you. If that child is enrolled here and is dissatisfied, you're going to try to make me dissatisfied. And I'm not going to be put in that position. So we simply will not enroll your child in the school. Ladies and gentlemen, there is a thing that permeates society today in America. And that is a heart of ingratitude. And I don't care how small or how large the issue may be. If there's a heart that has a lack of thanksgiving and thankfulness, there's a heart problem relationship between you and God. We need to be thankful. In fact, our material blessings, we need to be thankful for our material blessings that he provides for us. And I'll not read these verses, but I'll, during the course of this broadcast, give you several references. If you're not driving, make a note of the references and look them up. If you're driving, keep on driving. Don't pay attention to trying to write anything down. Just as bad as texting, you see. But we need to thank the Lord for our material blessings and for his providing it. In 1 Chronicles 29, verse 12 through 14. We need to be thankful for our family and our friends. Philippians 1, 3 and 1 Corinthians 1, 4. We need to be thankful if God's given us good health. Philippians 4, 12. Dr. Phelps, what are some other things that we need to be thankful for?
Scriptures tell us it's a good thing to give thanks unto the Lord and to sing praises unto thy name, O Most High. I found that there are a number of things for which we should be thankful. One of those is the mercy that we have from God.
Yes.
Mercy means, in one sense, that we can be forgiven. And God does not deal with us in justice. We rather receive mercy. In Psalm 86, the psalmist said something that I was really amazed at. And I don't think that very many of us think like this. This is an attitude on the part of David. He said in Psalm 86, 12, I will praise thee, O Lord my God, with all my heart, and I will glorify thy name forevermore. For great is thy mercy toward me, and thou hast delivered my soul from the lowest hell. That's one of the best definitions of mercy
yes.
that you find in the Bible.
Absolutely.
We have the sure mercies of David, and that's mentioned in Isaiah chapter 55, verse 3. When we come to him, when we come to God in faith, then we can obtain the sure mercies that David talked about and that are promised to him because all the promises of God to David or to anyone in the Bible or to any of us will be received only through that Son of David, according to the flesh, and that's the Lord Jesus Christ. We have not only that, but we have the heritage of the Scriptures in Psalm 119, 111. The psalmist said, "Thy testimonies have I taken as an heritage forever." And that is a great heritage that we have, the Word of God. The Scriptures are important to us because they testify of Christ and they build faith within us. Without the truth of the Scriptures, you and I cannot believe. Truth is a vital ingredient in the formula for faith. And we have that in what we call the Scriptures, God's inspired Word. They testify to us of Christ. It was the Apostle John who said, "We have known and about the Scriptures and believe the testimony of God that He sent His Son to be our Savior." And that's the essence of the Scriptures. We have a wonderful heritage in the Scriptures, the Word of God. Another thing for which we should give thanks is what Paul mentions as the helmet of salvation, Ephesians 6:17. It's talking about the salvation of God, God's salvation, which is a gift. It comes by grace.
Yes.
In Titus chapter 2, verse 11, "For the grace of God that bringeth salvation hath appeared to all men." And that word "appeared" means that it was made known or manifest in the person of the Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. He's the Savior that God promised and sent, and He's the one who makes salvation possible because salvation is in Him. Listen to that verse again. "For the grace of God that bringeth salvation hath appeared to all men." And following that, the Apostle Paul mentions many of the blessings of salvation, including the hope of eternal life. I'm so thankful that God hears my prayer. It was the psalmist who said in Psalm 116, "I love Thee, O Lord my God, because You've heard my voice and my supplication." Because You've listened to my voice, he said, "I will call upon You as long as I live." So that means that you and I have the privilege of seeking the Lord. Jesus says, seek and ye shall find, knock and it shall be open unto you. And He says, everyone that seeks will find, everyone that knocks shall be open to Him. He's talking about the hearing of our prayer. God wants us to talk to Him. One of the things that we realize today is many people treat God like a stranger. They don't talk with Him.
That's right.
So we need, as Christians, we need to voice our prayer to God. Pray without ceasing, the Bible says. I'm so thankful for these and so many wonderful things that God has promised us in the Word of God. One other thing I'd like to mention before the break time is that we have the hope of eternal life. 1 John 2:25. And this is the promise that God has promised us, even eternal life. We have a sure hope. Paul said it like this, "In hope of eternal life, which God, who cannot lie, promised before the world began." And so that word hope is not just wishful thinking. It's a divine certainty. God has given us so many things for which we can be thankful.
Ladies and gentlemen, we're going to take about a 1 minute top of the hour news break. Hang in there. Don't change the dial. Be right back in about 1 minute after the news as we continue. Let's face the issues.
This is Let's Face the Issues with Dr. Gene A. Youngblood from First Conservative Baptist Church and Conservative Theological University in Jacksonville, Florida. To learn more, visit conservative.edu.